Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, his hometown, friends and family and relatives and neighbors, they loved when Jesus spoke well. They loved to hear things about him. Yet when he challenged them, when he pushed them beyond the limits of what they thought their tribe or their nation or religion was the only one. And he starts talking about Sidon, he starts talking about Zarephath, and he talks about Syria. Ooh, no, those people can't be involved. You know, his hometown friends and family at the synagogue, they're good people, But they missed something deeper that Jesus was about that very much upset them and made them want to take him over and toss him off the cliff and kill him. They forgot what we hear so clearly in our second reading, that no matter what you do, it's got to be done in love. If you want to really see the truth of Jesus, you got to see through the eyes of love. Without that, you're going to miss the point. And what is of God may really seem to you as of the devil. You know, how many of you have been to a wedding and you heard these words? Love is patient, love is kind. How many? Everybody. Because this is maybe a foundational part of Scripture. This is maybe a core of what it means to have God's love. Because you have a man and a woman, they're going to make the most profound promises of their lives. And they're promising something that is beautiful and to hang in there with one another no matter what. And they use these words from 1 Corinthians 13 that St. Paul gives us today. Now, last week, we were reminded that you have an identity. You are the body of Christ. Christ is with you, works through you. If people want to see Christ, they look at a Christian to see Jesus. That's a big responsibility and a big gift we all have. And today, we're hearing the most excellent way that body of Christ operates. St. Paul says the most excellent way, and that's the way of love. Paul says it's the most profound definition of love there is. He says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is foundational, what Paul's saying today. This is like the core of what Jesus is talking about, too. This is important for those who follow Jesus. This love. Here Paul says it all. Love is the greatest gift. No matter what you do, do it in love and you'll be okay. We've got to be careful as Americans because you know what 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now is? Valentine's Day. You know, and my wife Joan already has a banner out that has little hearts on it. It says, be mine, I love you, be my Valentine, be my sweetheart. And that's beautiful, you know. And we'll say, hey, I love Rocky Road ice cream. Oh, I love that. I love those little peanut butter cups with chocolate and the Reese's. Oh, I love that. You know, I love the Steelers. Sometimes they're harder to love, but I love the Steelers. You know, you say we do. In fact, you know, the Eskimos, they have close to 70 words for snow because the snow is so important to them. And they have words to explain what kind of snow. Is it a drizzle snow? Is it a hard snow? Is it a flaky snow? Is it a heavy snow? You know, all these words for love, but we just say love. But Paul's talking about something very profound. He's talking about not any love. In fact, the Greeks have four words for love, and you can read C.S. Lewis's great book, The Four Loves. He talks about them. They're storge, that's the love of a little girl, or a little baby, or bunny rabbit, or baby chick. It's like it makes you feel warm and fuzzy all over. It's storge. And another kind of love is philios, like Philadelphia, brotherly love, sisterly love, friendship, you have friends. You know, that's another kind of love. Eros, that love that you just desire somebody, an erotic love and a sexual love. And that's good, too. We need that. But here they're talking about a different word. Paul uses the word agape love. This is the greatest of these is love, this agape love. And Marilyn read it so well today, but what I think to get sometimes into the more colloquial, and I used this example last week, the translation of the Bible called The Message by Eugene Peterson. I'd like to read that way Eugene Peterson puts it, because I think it has a lot more oomph to it. He says, and pretend St. Paul's talking, like we said last week, to you personally, because these letters were to you personally. And now I want you to lay out for you a far better way. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all the mysteries and making everything plain as day, if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps over there, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, even to the go to be burnt at the stake as a martyr, but don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than the self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut around. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first, me first. Notice me, notice me. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of other people. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will come to an end someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us completely. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly in God, love extravagantly. And the best of these is love. Go after a life of love as if your life depends on it, because, my brothers and sisters, it truly does. You know, St. Paul says it all. Faith, hope, love. These are the three apostolic virtues, but the greatest is love. You know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she's now a Saint Teresa of Calcutta, once said, "It is never how much we do, but how much we love and how much of Christ's love we put in the doing for Christ's sake." Not for our sake, for Christ's sake, but because Christ says. I mean, Martin Luther says, whenever you read the Bible, whatever you see in people, "Vas tribet Christus." Thus tribe in Christus. What pushes Christ? What shows Christ? And most purely and obviously seen in kindness, in caring, in warmness, in love. Not for our sake, because for Christ's sake. Love one another, Jesus said. This is how people will know you follow me. not all these other things, not having a big church or big bank account or big this or big, loving one another. This is how people will know. And there's much of Christ's love in this congregation. We see it. I mean, you know, somebody shovels the walk. We don't know who did that. I mean, that's wonderful. It says it was a salt put down. I mean, look, this is painted recently. You know, look, the altar set up. The communion cups are out there. We have beautiful bulletins. We're recycling paper. We're good stewards of our bulletins. And it's a beautiful, you know, our landscape. People notice it. Our walks and everything. These are all beautiful things, and these are all showing that people care about this kind and love God. But, you know, all the ministry and programs that we develop or outreach in our churches, as good as they are, St. Paul reminds us today, they mean nothing without the love of Christ and doing the ministry for Christ's sake. It's not looking at the surface. It's inside out, living from the heart, by heart. And from that, the good things come out. Good things grow, good things, but from the inside out. And as we live in this love, here is a beautiful fragrance that is given off, that delights and heals and makes whole. Now, I'm reading a book now by Lewis Meads, and it's basically a commentary on this 1 Corinthians 13. And he talks about agape love, and he says it's God's love, agape love. He says, it's the liberating power that moves us toward our neighbor with no demands for rewards. It's love that does good for good's own sake, no matter what the consequences. My wife and I, we had the joy at Chautauqua. We go there once a year and we did continuing education. And John Shelby Spong, a bishop of the Episcopalian Church, was there once, and Joan loves this, and it's a quote from one of his books. He says, he talks about love, and he says, we worship God by loving, here's his word, wastefully. Loving wastefully. Wastefully. And he said, by wasteful love, I mean the kind of love that never stops to calculate whether the object of its love is worthy to be a recipient. It is a love that never stops to calculate deserving. It's a love that loves not because love has been earned. It is the act of loving wastefully. What I believe, when I do that, I make God visible. It's so full of God's love that you just love no matter what the consequences, no matter what the results. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he's loving people. They're killing them. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. One of my favorite theologians, maybe you heard of him, Karl Barth. Karl Barth was a Swiss theologian, genius. Wrote many the dogma of Christianity and theology of Christianity, a systematic theologian. When I was getting my doctorate in ministry at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, there was Karl Barth's desk where he wrote his great treatises and great articles and great books. I got to sit there once. Wow, I felt good sitting in that seat. Well, one time, Karl Barth, he was older, students were there, and he was older. He wasn't feeling too good, but he still showed up. But the student, and they were all there with their notebooks. Every word he said was like a pearl coming out of his mouth, and they were taking all of his notes. And one student asked, he turned to Barth and said, "Of all the theological insights you have ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest of them all?" I mean, he wrote thousands and thousands of pages and books and everything else. Of all this, what's the greatest of them all? And Barth sat there. He closed his eyes. He leaned back. And everybody's ready to take notes of what he was going to say. And then he leaned forward with a big smile on his face. He said, "This is the most important thing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the key. You know, St. John, who wrote John's Gospel and the letters 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the Bible, He lived to an old age. He didn't. Most of the disciples had violent deaths. They were martyred. But he lived to an old age. And he his last sermons were, God loves you. Love one another. Could you tell us more, John? God loves you. Love one another. What do you mean? God loves you. Love one another. You know, God loves us. And that's wonderful. Each one of you. You have eternal value. Your souls are all unique, and God loves all of you. He loves your shadow side. He loves your light side. And this great ideal of love that St. Paul pushes out, that was zapped him by the Holy Spirit, he never lived up to the total of all that love. And we won't either, but we have the gift. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to try to do that. I mean, I fail, I fall every day. But that love of God and love of neighbor is still before me and still before you. And as we appreciate and open to that love and that Holy Spirit coming into our hearts, and just feel the warmth and goodness of that, and know that your life is so valuable and you're so precious in God's eyes, then to imitate God, that's how we are to treat everybody that we meet. Our spouses, our grandchildren, our friends, even our enemies. So when people see that in us, they'll know who we are and whose we are. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And through us, the kingdom of God is coming to earth. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.